Amen. Just thank God for you. Appreciate you and the Lord. Amen. I believe we're living in a great time, don't you? Amen. The Bible speaks about the coming of the Lord, the restoration, and the greatness of the hour. Praise God. Last night, we had a little something that'll help us, you know, leave alone what's not ours and claim what's ours. God will grant it. And I want to thank God for your pastor here, Brother Gann, Richard Gann. Amen. I've known him for quite some time, and I tell you, he's a sincere man. And it's just good to have someone to be the pastor and be the shepherd and all. It's just great to know that there's someone here that stands true with the Word of God, and not someone that's a lot of the people that follow the message that we have been following, and we followed the message rather than the messenger and went on in the Word of God. And I believe there's higher heights and deeper depths to obtain. Like Brother Gann and myself was talking the first day we arrived, that we're still learning. And as long as the church knows that, we can move with God, can't we? We're still learning. It's when we get where we think we've arrived, that's when we're in trouble. Amen. We haven't arrived till we receive our glorified body. How many knows it's so? Amen. So I thought I'd take a little text this morning and take it from Revelation chapter 10 there in verse 6 about, is this the beginning or is it the end? Is this the beginning or is it the end? Amen. And it's the end for some things, but the beginning for others. I believe the greatest thing for the bride of Jesus Christ is yet ahead of us. And we're beginning to come into it now. Mighty move of God. Hallelujah. Where revival fires among the bride. Those that believe the word are just catching the fire everywhere. Amen. And hungry hearts and people are desiring the word of God. So I believe that there's something great for us. It was spoken in this day that by the messenger of the age that the bride hadn't had her revival yet, but she will. She will. She will have her revival. Amen. And I believe throughout 30 years or so, God has allowed to let a lot of things fall by the wayside. And people went to seed on certain quotes and so on. Now God has a group of people that still has their heart open, that's still looking for God to move, that's still waiting for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And the Holy Spirit has begun to do that. Praise God. So I just thank God that we're living in this day and hour. All right, we're reading now in Revelation chapter 10 here, and I want to read to start with verse 6 here. And it speaks of a mighty angel that come down, which we know relates to Jesus Christ coming in His spiritual, revelational form to the bride of Christ. Amen. And there's a voice teaching us to go on, eat the little book, keep pressing on, keep going forward. And that's the hour we're living in, when God's speaking to us to go forward. Why compass you around this mountain, the scripture we read last night? Turn you away and go, amen, into the land that God has promised. And now that we had the instruction last night, I feel was of the Holy Spirit that teaches us as we go forward, not to be troubled, not to be tore up, not to be upset in what other people are doing and what God's doing with other people. Let that be them and God doing it. Amen. But we are the bride. Amen. And we are the one that God has called out. We're a called out people. And those that are called out, God deals with them specifically. And it's not like it is maybe among the denominational and among the church world as a whole, where maybe there is big revivals where tens of thousands of people are coming in attendance. It said that we are leaving here and going into the Philippines, and it said that there'll be in the Liberty Hall over where we're having the meeting, that it'll be over 1,000 people there, and that'll be a good turnout for people believing this word, you know. Amen. Where someone like Billy Graham might have 50,000, you know, and we're not envious at all. Amen. Because God's using that. God's using Billy Graham with the 50,000 to do a thing. He's using us for a different thing. And we leave it to God and let God work it the way He wants to work it. Praise God. Amen. So we're reading here Revelation chapter 10 and verse 5 here. First part talked about a mighty angel coming down and so on, which is Christ. And verse 5 says, "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, and lifted his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things which are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." In other translations, a delay no longer. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery," this is a singular word, "the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared unto his servants the prophet." Now here's this mighty angel that comes down, which is none other than Christ in a revelational form, in a greater measure than he was seen in the church ages. Amen. And that's John had to see it like that in order to get it in words. It's just the Spirit of God coming among us in a greater way once a certain thing has taken place. And that certain thing, of course, would be the church ages that we've just come through. Because in the church ages, which is known as the kingdom of heaven age, we entire grow together. And there in the church ages there was things took place that is not in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God's within you. How many knows there's a distinct difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? Yeah. We entire can grow together in the kingdom of heaven, which is the earthly sphere of religion, say. Amen. But the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit within you. Hallelujah. So we're coming into the age where the kingdom of God are to be manifested in a greater way. And the closing out of the kingdom of heaven age is definitely taking place. Praise the Lord, because of this fact. Amen. As the kingdom of heaven comes to an end, it means that the church ages as we've known it have come to an end. Amen. They continue on and on and on. Amen. But the point being that God calls the people out of that. Now here's the secret to it. God calls the people out. And he says, "Come out of her, my people. Be not partaker of her sin, that you receive not of her plagues," and so on. So there's a people that's called out to be the wife of Jesus Christ. And those people that are called out, the Lord himself will begin to deal in a greater, greater manner. Praise the Lord. So as we look at this scripture here today, and we look at verse 1, we see the mighty angel coming down, and he put one foot on sea and one foot on land. Amen. I was studying on this once, praying and fasting and seeking God, and the Lord gave me a vision on this. And on this, I was coming up to this old farmhouse, and as I approached it, there was a man walked out on the porch with a bullhorn. And he just said a few words. He put that bullhorn, you know what that is, like the police use or something, as a loudspeaker, you know, or something. And he put it up, and he said, "Remember the feet," and turned and walked back in, you know. And I thought, well, what was that? And I came out of it. But I was thinking about the feet. He put one foot on sea and one foot on land. Amen. And there's a great thing there, the way God words certain things in the Word of God. This mighty angel come down, put one foot on land and one on sea. Now, we know sea signifies the multitude and so forth, the people, as Revelation 17 declares. And it has to do with the first leg of the coming of the Lord. Now, we're on several legs of our journey. You know, this is the first leg of our journey. Amen. And the Lord came on the day of Pentecost in the form of the Holy Ghost. to get the to begin to deal with the church, to come inside the church, become one with the church, to become that you and Christ could become one. But there's another leg of His coming that's clearly related here in Revelation chapter 10. Amen. And this time He comes as the mighty angel, which is Christ. He put one foot on sea, and it's worded right, and one foot on land. And within those two comings, there's 2,000 years different. And putting the feet on one foot on sea and one on land. And many things happen in there. And basically, it's the seven church ages. Amen. Has happened between Pentecost and the descent of the angel in Revelation chapter 10. Seven church ages has transpired during the wilderness period. And as Israel went into the wilderness, as we read last night, amen, the church did the same. And then in the book of Songs of Solomon there, he writes there that Solomon did, "Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning on the shoulder of her beloved?" It's none other than the bride of Jesus Christ coming forth in the last day, coming out of the wilderness, coming out of the church age, amen, and then having these great things prepared that God has ordained for us. Now I would like to turn, if you will please, read with me into Matthew 13. And there's seven parables there, but the last one, which is dealing with the last church age in type, if we type them out, there is the seven church ages. The last parable, the messenger here brings out of his treasures things old and things new. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this here, we'll get into this just a little bit. I want you to kind of follow as we go along. There are seven of these parables. And as we read this one, starting in verse 47, it is the seventh of these parables and would correspond to the seven church ages that we've come through. Amen. And in this, there's a beautiful saying in this parable that fits our age exactly. Amen. And as we read it, I would like I'll stop commenting as I go along. Verse 47 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered in every kind." And that's big tent revivals we've had. And I've been, for years, I've had trucks, tents, and so on, been on the field, and gathered in a lot, you know. But you go back to the same town, you probably get the large number saved. Well, you go back to that same town, the same people getting saved again, you know, and weren't accomplishing a whole lot. But occasionally we'd catch that one fish. That would somebody would catch hold, and they'd be just as firm and just as solid, amen, as they could be. I remember one tent revival we went into, and the Lord just did some special miracle, just like He did in the days of Paul. And we prayed for the sick, and in those days, in the deliverance meeting in the 50s there, it started back in the 40s and 50s, coming through, we saw a lot of healings, miraculous healing, and people just absolutely being healed. And one night we were having a meeting like this, and the meetings were lasting till well after midnight because people were praying in the altar and long service. But there was one family in the back as the tent was being emptied. Almost everybody's gone home, and the brethren was letting down the curtain on the tent. The family sat in the back. There was a man, woman, little girl, and I noticed they didn't leave. And you could tell that they were not of the upper class in far as the dress and so on. And they were a poor couple, and I think a little bit timid, you know. Didn't want to come up while all the other people were coming up to be prayed for. So they brought came up, and I was sitting on the platform there waiting for to get through. And they brought the little girl and said, "Sir, can you help this child?" And I said, what's wrong? And the little child said, "Look into her eyes." And her eyes was just the pupils. You could barely tell where the pupils at, just milky. And she said she can see to the extent that she can tell if a light is burning or if it isn't burning. And that's the extent of as much as she can see. And said, we just took her to the doctor, and the doctor said it won't be long till she'll be total blind. Said, sir, can you help her? I said, I was moved with compassion. I took the little thing, set my lap there. And I said, and by faith, I spoke the word of God, just came from within. I said, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to touch this child and going to heal it and make her completely whole. Amen. I sat on the lap there, and I just reached over and prayed for her, Lord Jesus, make this child completely whole in the name of the Lord. Amen. And the mother, I handed her back to the mother, and the mother took her on home and brought her back the next night. Amen. And I was a little scared because I had faith when I spoke it. But, you know, sometimes we speak something by faith and we believe it. We know it's right. But when we sleep a night on it and have a problem the next day in the hustle and bustle, we begin to wonder, did I speak too soon? Or what's going to be this case, you know? But they brought the little child to the platform that night, and she could see absolutely perfect. Her eyes was just as clear and just as perfect as any eyes could be. Praise the Lord. And I was going back to the same area a few years back. Amen. And I stopped and I asked the brother there, Brother Gibson, I said, you remember the little girl? Oh, yes, yes, everybody remember that. It was talked about around here all the time. I said, whatever happened to her? She said, oh, she grew up and started the school, and said now she's married and has two children of her own, and says she's never had one problem since. Amen. That's what the great Lord God can do. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm expecting to see some more of those things come in our midst. Amen. As God begin to move this bride, He's going to let our faith grow, because we're coming more and more into the very message that Paul laid down for us and gave to us Gentiles. And Paul said, your faith groweth exceedingly. Hallelujah. And I believe by hearing, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. Amen. When we hear the Word of God and see the Word of God in action, amen, God's going to move, make the Word live. This thing is not over with. That's what I'm here to tell you. Amen. It's just beginning. Yeah. Hallelujah. The greatest thing are ahead for the bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The wine bottle not empty. Amen. The old one is, but the brand new bottle's open. Amen. I'm speaking here of the spiritual wine now. Praise the Lord. We were having a meeting over Dawsonville, Georgia, and the brother had a vision that came down West Virginia. He said, Ben, I saw you, and you were looked like you were just give out, and you were just wasn't functioning very well, and said, there was an empty wine bottle. And said, somebody says he must have drunk this. But so I looked, and there was another wine bottle, and just been open, and one sip took out of it. And he said, no, that's what happened. Said he has now begun to drink from the new wine. Hallelujah. The old bottle is empty. The old age is over. And said his strength is going to return to him. Amen. And we're going to see greater things. Hallelujah. Amen. See, the wine, the revelation, the stimulation, when the opening of the seals, you know, they were rejoicing in the Lord. And Jesus said, hurt not the wine and the oil. And the wine is the stimulation and the oil is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And we're in an hour now when God is stimulating His people with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And as we approach the coming of the Lord more and more and fall more in love with the Lord, there's going to zeal come in your heart like you've never had before. Yes. I just did a wedding for one of my niece a few weeks back, and she was just so excited, you know. I mean, you know, she looked like she's walking on 9 foot of cotton, you know. She was so happy and just so excited. Amen. The young man was too, you know. A wedding sticks and take place. Now, if that takes place in the natural, then what should it do to us if we know the wedding is about to take place in its fullness, the bride and the bride of Christ? Amen. He has come to claim His bride. Hallelujah. He has come to unite with His bride. Now, the church ages and the coming to the kingdom of heaven age, it was an age like whosoever will let him come. And everybody did come. Amen. But then at the end time, God began to put everybody in the place where they're ordained to be. Hallelujah. And here, as we read here, he cast the net into the sea. And verse 48 says, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end. So shall it be at the end of the world, and the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And there shall be weeping and wailing. And here's another scripture. Yes, I see where I want to read now. And shall cast them in the lake furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have you understood these things? And they say unto him, Lord. Now, the next verse is what I want to get here. Have you understood these things? Amen. Remember, the fishermen sat down. Amen. I got a letter from a brother that had just heard the tape that I preached, and it was, why did the fishermen sit down? They pulled the net in and sat down. And it's typical of the big revivals that was going on among the bride. Amen. The net's been pulled in. We'll sit down, and the Holy Spirit is doing, He's separating it out. That's why we don't have the meeting with the large numbers that we one time saw coming. And then I want you to notice this next verse here. It's verse 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. Now this is the seventh parable, speaking of the seventh church age messenger, which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and things old. Amen. Now this year is at the end of the age here. God, through the seventh church age messenger, has brought out of the treasures things new and things old. He restored back the old that the early church had. For as the Word, the baptism, the oneness of the Godhead, and all the predestination, it's been restored. But he also brought out of his treasures things new that haven't been preached before. Amen. Basically, the seven seals and the seven church ages and all those things, even naming the seven church ages, he brought forth things old and things new. I was preaching this in a basement over in a little place near Atlanta, Georgia, called Powder Spring, 3 or 4 years ago. And my wife had a dream there when I was there, and she saw me had a corn grinder. So I slipped it under my coat, and I was just joking, going on with the brethren and all. She said, don't they see what he's got under his coat? I had a corn grinding corn. Well, I was preaching this message. He brings out of his treasures things old and things new. And said she saw that corn grinder there, and a hand dropped down just grinding that corn, the meal just pouring from it. Amen. Yeah. What it was, the Word of God being broken down so that we can digest it and receive from it the right revelation of the Word. Amen. You don't eat dry corn on the cob, you know. Amen. Like that, it has to be ground and made into bread, and then it's served unto the people. Praise God. So the seventh messenger brought things out of his treasures, things old and things new, and he finished the mystery of God. Amen. Now this is important. He finished the mystery of God, and that mystery there is singular. Now what is the mystery? It's the mystery of the seven church ages, how it fell away, how it went into the dark ages, and how God brought it back again in this last day. Amen. And when the mighty angel came down from heaven, amen, which is Christ coming back in a revelation of form. You're not going to see a mighty, it's the Spirit of God coming among us in a great way, and that's why it said angel. We don't see angel, but John had to write something in order for the church to know the power of Christ was here in such a great way. See? Amen. And when the angel came down to heaven, there was a voice in heaven that says, time is no more. Time shall be delayed no more. Amen. And when that took place, that ended a time period. It finished up a mystery. It finished up the seven church ages. Yeah. And the seven church ages, it's finished up as far as the bride being within it. Amen. It'll go on, and it'll go on till the end, but the bride is called out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the move is on for the bride. Hallelujah. The revival is on for the bride. Hallelujah. The greatest thing that's to take place is yet to take place within the bride. So is this the end or is it the beginning? See, is it the end? It's the end for the church age in that sense, but it's a new beginning for the bride of Jesus Christ. God is going to make the Word of God fresh unto us once again for the final thrust in this last day just before the rapture. Hallelujah. Praise God. And He's going to make it fresh in the sense that He's bringing back, amen, the Word in the revelation of form with the anointing on it that it had in the days of Paul. We know that the church fell away. How many knows it? Amen. It fell away and went into the dark ages. And they lost the revelation that Paul had.
Yeah.
That's why in the book, the church ages, in each one of the church ages almost, they taught the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism as the name. They taught a Trinity in the Godhead. And they formed their churches and denomination and they worked within that and God blessed them. Amen. Because that was the time period they lived in. Hallelujah. God bless the Baptist. God bless the Methodist. God bless the Presbyterian. And John Wesley came out with that message on sanctification, that the believer should live a sanctified life. Amen. And the Lord blessed him. Amen. But in the last days, when the seventh messenger has come and gone, following close on His heel, the Lord Jesus comes back with the power that He had on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, let's go back to Revelation chapter 10 here just a moment, if you will, please. There's a couple of places I want to read here in Revelation. Pardon me, let's go to Revelation chapter 5 first, and then we'll go over to Revelation chapter 10. Amen. Because God is moving, and I believe God here in Singapore, here in this area, here in this town, amen, can have one of the greatest moves of God. Amen. You've got good quality. You've got a good quality man here, Brother Gann. Amen. Good quality people here that believe the Word of God. I believe you can have one of the greatest churches in this whole entire area. Praise God. And another thing you've got a vision. You've got outreach. The books are going out. And I've read Brother Gann's book. They come to Georgia. And see, you've got the outreach. You've got that push. Amen. And you know what I'm here to do? Is get my shoulder to the wheel and push with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're one. We're laborers together in the Lord. We're not separated. We're brethren. Amen. And we're working for the same thing. Hallelujah. It's for the perfecting of the saints. Now here in Revelation chapter 5, we see the book that's sealed with seven seals. And we'll begin reading verse 1. This is very important in this last day as we get into Revelation chapter 10. It says here, John being picked up in heaven, he says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book." Now I want you to know it's written within. "And on the backside sealed with seven seals." And of course, then the voice of the angel cried, "Who's worthy to open the book?" No one was worthy but the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. But the point I want you to notice is the book is written. It's not to be written. It's already written. Amen. It's written within and sealed with seven seals. The only thing, we got to get the seven seals off to get the fresh revelation that's contained in the book. It's not to be something rewritten here in the end time. It's a fresh anointing on what's already written.
Amen.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. Amen. It's a fresh anointing on what's already written. Praise God. And when Christ come down that angelical form, He brings the book back to the church. Which means that while the church were in its fallen stage, they could not receive wives. And if he found another one that he wanted, he could take another one.
because the woman couldn't become totally one with the man in that stage. But what happened when the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit came to Mary, and the Holy Ghost came and said unto Mary, Thou shalt conceive and bring forth a child, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Amen. She said, Be it unto me according to the word of God. Hallelujah. Where Eve sold womankind down to a little lower level where she served in the Old Testament, Mary believed God's word, and the lady was picked back up on the level where Paul spoke of it in Corinthians chapter 7, that man hadn't got authority over his body. But guess who has? Anybody know? The woman. The man hadn't got authority over his body, but the woman has. Amen. Neither had a woman's authority over her body, but the man. He put exact same level. That means that there's no man can be married to two women at the same time. He can't be one with two different women. Now, in the Old Testament, he could. Amen. But God permitted that because she was living under a survival law until Christ came. Amen. But Christ has come. Amen. And the same thing with the church. They lived in the church ages. The church was under a survival law until Christ come back in that original and brought that original contract back to her. Hallelujah. That original contract is that marriage certificate. Hallelujah. That Christ brings back to earth and gives back to the church. Amen. And Christ and the church become one again. Amen. She come back under that original law, which that original law was, Jesus said, these things that I do, shall you do in greater things. He didn't put the church under one law and himself under another. Exact same law. Same as with Adam and Eve, exact same law. Amen. And when Mary believed God and brought forth the Son of God, hallelujah, the woman was picked back up, so she's under the exact same law as the man. Amen. Praise God. How many believe it? Amen. Amen. A man can't just treat a woman like a second-class citizen. Amen. She's to be his sweetheart, his darling. Amen. He's to do every good thing he can for her. Amen. Amen. Doesn't hurt to stop by and give her some flowers occasionally and something like that, you know. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Treat that woman like she's your sweetheart. Treat her like you did when you was going with her. Tell her how good looking she is. Amen. How much she mean to you and how you couldn't live a day without her. Huh? Amen. That's the thing, see, because man and woman, they're one again. They are totally united, and the Bible says these two shall be one flesh. Now, in the Old Testament, that law was set aside until Jesus was king. Because here's why. Solomon had a number of wives, a huge number of wives. How could he become one flesh with more than one? He could not. Amen. So that law was set aside, but it's reinstated. And St. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, came and brought the revelation. Amen. That man and woman, a man hadn't got a thought. If you ladies see your man looking at another woman, making eyes at her, you got a right to reach up and catch him by the tie. Well, y'all don't wear a tie. Grab him by the shirt collar or something and say, hey, you keep your eyes in the right spot. I get in trouble. But the point is, amen, you're on the man and woman's on the exact same law as far as the marriage law concerns. There is no difference. A man has not a right to get another woman, neither have another woman has right to get with another man. Amen. Because they're one. God made them one. Now, that's what he did to the church. But the law was set aside through the seven church ages. Therefore, they went into denominations, and the spirit of iniquity began to work, and they made many different denominations, you know. Amen. And they couldn't become one with Christ. Why? Because they had become one with a system. Yeah. Amen. And many of the teaching of the system was contrary to the law of Christ. Yeah. Amen. And they couldn't become one with the system, and one with Christ too. Yeah.
So here come Christ back to earth and bring that original contract, amen, with a fresh anointing to make it real. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Unsealed. Glory to God. And God brings it back to earth. And let's just read it here in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 1 here. Notice the book was written within. It weren't. Now, again, let me bring this out while you're turning. A lot of people talk about unwritten word. The little book is unwritten word. Not so. The Bible doesn't say the little book is unwritten word. What was unwritten was the seals, the thunders that sounded and were sealed up. That was what was not written. See, when the thunder sound, John said, I was about to write. And there was a voice from heaven say, seal up those things with the thunder said and write them not. And those seals were put on the book, see? Amen. And at the opening of the book, that word that was already written. Which means we don't have to go out into fanaticism. As Brother Gann says last night, we don't have to get revelation that can't be founded in the Word because He brings back the original Word once again. Hallelujah. And that's why it is this New Testament. It is the original contract. There's not going to be another Bible wrote. This is it. Hallelujah. All we need is that fresh anointing from heaven to make this Word live again. Amen. The same word Paul preached. Amen. Glory to God. I had a vision once upon a time, and I was thinking, I was hearing some of the brethren preach along those lines. They were saying, we're going to get something not even wrote, and we're going to get this, and we're going to know how to get out here, and we're going to do these things, you know, and all these things. And I said, no telling what God will reveal to us, and what kind of words He'll give us, and what kind of message He would give us. It kind of troubled me. And I was praying about it, and I saw the Apostle Paul writing his letters. Amen. And I saw the word was sealed up that Paul wrote, and it came right. It hit Brother Branham. Something came right out of that word and hit Brother Branham. Amen. And it went right back to the letter Paul wrote, which means Brother Branham didn't point us to a new message. Amen. He pointed us right back to what Paul preached. When he was in that translation that time, he says the angel told him about the things that was going to take place and so on. He said, well, will Paul's people make it? And he said, yes, the angel did. He said, if Paul's folks make it, mine will too, because I preach the same thing Paul preached. Well, Paul baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I did the same. Hallelujah. So there's not a new message coming. Amen. Amen. We eat the old corn of the land. Amen. Amen. The manna fell through seven church ages. But now we go here and we get the old corn of the land. And not only we get the old corn of the land, we get a fresh anointing to make it live. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's the thing. We get a fresh anointing to make it live. And that fresh anointing is here. Hallelujah. Praise God, it's here. It's on the bride. I'm seeing it take place. There are revival fires. That's why we're going into Philippines. There are revival fires just catching on all over. Hallelujah. Something is taking place. Amen. Hallelujah. We haven't got this thing in a little box somewhere. Amen. You know, some people want a certain kind of evangelist or a certain preacher. Well, this preacher, they get the idea sometimes everything God's doing is doing in a little circle. It's not so. Amen. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Amen. And we're just servants that He has called to go minister the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the mighty angel come down with the little book. Now, He didn't come to reveal unwritten word to the church out of the little book. Because the book was written within, it just got sealed up. And how come it got sealed up? The church fell away. Thou art fallen. And in their fallen state, but again, they couldn't eat the purity of it. They couldn't live the purity of it. Amen. Just like when the woman fell, God put her on a survival law. But when Jesus Christ comes, she's put back on the original. Amen. Now Jesus Christ has come again this last day, and you're back under the original law. Hallelujah. These things that I do and greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. Amen. Now let's read about the little book here. Praise God. Amen. I'm getting excited here. I can't help it. This thing's real to me, folks.
Amen. Now, this mighty angel come down is none of you. You're not going to see a mighty angel or something. But John, he had to see something to get it wrote in words. And he used the word angel because angel is something you don't see. Unless God decides to make it known. So what it is, it's the anointing of Christ. It's Christ coming back in full anointing once again. Now listen, we read Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Notice, clothed with a cloud. That means it takes a revelation. He's surrounded in a cloud. And only those that have revelation will ever see him. Alright? And a rainbow upon his head, showing that it is actually Christ. And his face was as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. Now, I want you to notice this is the same little book that was in his hand in Revelation chapter 5 while he sat on the throne there in that sense. Amen. But it was clothed, and the book was clothed, and it was sealed with seven seals. But it was written within. That's the point I don't want you to miss. There's not to be another message to come that's not wrote in the Word of God. It's the restoring of what the early church had. Jesus said, I'll send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the Lord, and he'll restore unto you all these things. It's a restoring and bringing back. Eat this Word. But he says for us to eat the Word. So eat the little book. Now that it's brought back to us, it weren't available through the church age. That's why John Wesley couldn't see the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the tongues and the gifts and all that. It was sealed away. Weren't available. But here comes the anointing of Christ once the seventh angel come and finish the mystery, which is the church that relates to the church age mystery, not all the mysteries of the Bible. It's a singular mystery. The route the church took in Pentecost all the way through, the message cleared it up. But the thing where people make the mistake, they keep trying to quote the message over and over when the message already cleared up, the mystery.
Amen.
Amen. And you stand Christ with a little book saying, take it and eat. Yeah. They say, quote, 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 quote. You know.
Right.
Amen. That quote was good for this day and this hour. Amen. But the sun has set on that. Amen. And the day star has arisen in our heart.
Yes.
Praise God. Peter spoke of it there. And he said, we got a more sure word of promise, prophecy, that we do well, that we take heed. Amen. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in our heart. And that day star, there's one star visible in daytime. It's the sun. Amen. Which represents the Son of God. Hallelujah. On the way over, I had the strangest experience I've ever had in my life concerning the sunrises. We got on the plane in Atlanta, Georgia, and I dozed off sleep on the way over. And I woke up and saw the sun up, you know. I looked at my watch, it was 3:30 in the morning. Sunrise, I said, my man, what's going on? 3:30 in the morning, the sun's up. Why haven't we then crossed over to another time zone? Amen. And the sun's up. And I thought, my, they come to the serving breakfast at the 3:30 in the morning, the sun up high. And the first night, I didn't hardly get... I'm supposed to be sleeping now. But I'm getting kind of adjusted to it, you know. Amen. But the Lord has given us something great. Amen. I didn't come over here with some big revelation tell you that if you do this or you do that, all of a sudden you'll be changed and translated, and all of a sudden you'll be just a super spiritual Christian. No, I came to lend my shoulder, just add my little thing to encourage you to go on with God.
Amen.
I don't believe in quick fixes. Amen. I believe in taking it, what the Word says, and just take it. And God's given us something, and I believe God's given us something in these two services. Amen. Not because of me, or not because of Brother Gann, or anything. It's because it's His time, and He wants to give it. Amen. Not because I'm a holy man or a good man. Amen. Like Jack said, Ben, I don't know. Said, you and Brother Gambo said, I'm going to listen close while you're in the pulpit, but I can't tell when you're kidding and when you're not. Amen. So God's given us something good. Amen. And God wants you to be happy. And God wants you to smile. And God don't care if you got a little sense of humor.
Yes.
Huh?
Amen. You know, some people, they got such a long face like a mule, you'd think the mama weaned them on dill pickles or something. You know, you couldn't get a smile out of them at all. Amen. Amen. Laughter is good for you, like a medicine. Is that what the Bible says? Amen. So it's good to laugh. Here is something to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Jesus said, "My joy I leave with you." And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is His strength. Amen. Amen. If you got that joy, you'll get the strength. Yes. Hallelujah. You can go day and night and you're on the joy of the Lord. Yes. Praise God. So here He comes. He brings the little book and it's open. And He says, time is no more. That is, time is no more relating to the church age system that you were one time in. Yes. So is this the beginning or is it the end? It's the end of the church age period and the beginning for the move of the bride. We're in the home stretch now. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And listen, let's get down to about verse, I know time's moving on, so we'll jump on down to about verse 8. It's talking about the mighty angel coming down and so on. Amen. This is Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10, verse 8. But again, I think I'll pull my shoes off when I get home.
Huh?
Preach.
All right.
I do all right with shoes on. Amen. Well, the Bible says how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. So I asked Brother George, I said, "Brother George, are my feet beautiful?" He said, "Yeah." Amen. Amen. All right. So here in the 8th verse here, it says, here's a voice of authorization from the Father. After the book's open, after Christ is fully here in His full power, here comes a voice to authorize the church to go forth and begin to eat it, be just like the early church. Listen to what it says. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again. Let's do it again, and let's do it right this time. Amen. We've done it one time. We had all our scruples in it, and it didn't work too well. Amen. But let's do it again. See, the voice spoke again. Amen. And he says, the voice spoke again and said, "Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth." Now, what's this saying? It's the Spirit of God within you. All of a sudden, you begin to get that feeling. I want to be like that early church. I want the full power of that message that Paul had. Amen. That's that voice saying, "Go, take the little book out of the hand of the angel." It's an inner pulling. It's an inner hungry. It's an inner suggestion. Amen. That this is available for you, and we can have it.
Amen.
I tell you, I'd like to see a revival break forth here today.
Amen.
That just wouldn't have no end till the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. The saints of God rejoicing, full of the joy, full of the power, the gifts of the Spirit, light in the sanctuary, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and the 9 gifts of the Spirit manifested. Amen. That's Pentecost for you, folks. Amen. If the church ever put forth another branch, it'll write another book of Acts. Hallelujah. And another book of Acts coming into being now. Praise God. So the voice said, "Go take the little book, which is open." And notice that. It's not a closed book. It wouldn't do you any good to take the book if it still had the seals on and were closed. It has to be open so you can eat it. Amen. If you bring a can of something from the store with some good fruit in it, you can't eat it till it's open. Amen. Jimmy tried to get me to eat something last night. I don't know why it was. George said it was good, but I didn't trust him. You know, so George said, "This is delicious." But sometimes he tells me that. When maybe it's not so delicious. Amen. But the can had to be open first. It had to be open and put in the bowl to serve. So the little book is open, and the voice says, "Go eat the little book. Take the little book and eat it." Amen. And that's what God's telling you to do today. This message is none other than the Holy Spirit saying, "Take the little book and eat it."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And here's what He says here. go and take the little book out of the angel's, which is open, in the angel's hand to stand to see. Verse 9, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. Can you say that this morning?
Amen.
Give me the little book. Now, what is the little book? Let me. I got a book here. I'll demonstrate it. Amen. Here's the big book. The Bible's a big book. But God ain't talking about the Bible. He's talking about the little book within the Bible. Amen. He's talking about the commandment that was given to the church. He was talking about a message that was left here, 14 books, all the Bibles for us, but there's 14 books specifically for the Gentile bride. To wash her with the water of the Word, to build her up into the perfect stature of the man Christ Jesus. Amen. And here it is. See, take the little book out of the hand of the angel. Because the rest of this didn't relate to her specifically in that way anyway. This is a marriage certificate. Amen. Take the little book and eat it. Amen. So the little book is taken right from the big book. It's part of the big book here. But look here. Praise the Lord. So here, this actually, we could say it's a marriage certificate. It's a book of redemption. And we could call it many different things. Amen. But basically, it's the Word of God for you in the end time. And here he said, take it and eat it. And John went and said, give me the little book. And he said unto me, the mighty angel said, take it, eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth as sweet as honey. In other words, there'll be some changes you need to make. Listen, folks, when you eat this and come exactly to what Paul preached, there may be some changes you need to make. And some of them may kind of upset your routine a little bit. And by eating the book.
Yeah.
Amen. He wants the Holy Ghost to be your leader.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ wants to be the head of the church.
Yeah.
Amen. And nobody's going to take His glory. He's not going to make somebody else the head.
Yeah.
Amen. He's the head of the church. Glory to God. All right, let's see where we're at. Brother Gann said we had to go somewhere else. So I better. Amen. All right, it's bitter, it's sweet in your mouth and bitter. And verse 10 says, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. But here's what he said. Now the text is it the end or is it the beginning? The angel said unto me, thou must prophesy again or preach. This word here means preach in this context. Preach again or prophesy, pray it again, in other words. Before many people, nations, tongues, and kings. So it's not over with.
Amen.
Amen. For the bride of Jesus Christ, it's just the beginning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The greatest thing are yet ahead. Hallelujah. Amen. And when I leave you, I'm going to keep you in my prayers. And I want you to pray for me. And together, we're going to see a revival. Let's eat the book, will you?
Yes.
It's not over. It's just beginning. Amen. It's just beginning. And there's greater things ahead. Praise God. All right. I'm going to do something I don't usually do all the time. But there may be somebody who have a need this morning. That would like to just lay hands on you and pray for you.
Yes.
Amen. You might be need a healing or something. Our God is a healer.
Amen.
I mean, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or even think.
Yes.
Praise God. Or it may have some kind of domestic problem. Whatever it is, God, He's a problem solver. He's a dissolver of doubts also. If there's any doubts about this thing, He's a dissolver of doubts. Amen. So, I wonder if there's anyone want to be prayed for. Amen. All right. If not, we'll turn the service to Brother Gann. Oh, you want to be prayed for. Amen. Would you like to have music, Brother Gann? Just do it like this.
Yeah, do it
like this. All right. Praise God. Just come on, sister. Praise God. You can tell me about it, or you don't have to if you don't want to. The Lord knows about it. All right. All right. All right. You believe God with me? He's going to work it out? Brother Gann, let's pray, would you? Brother Zema, amen. Now, let's watch God move.
Amen.
And answer praise prayer. You can stand if you like, however you want to do it here. Praise God. We're going to pray, sister, and we're going to playing the guitar and singing. It means a lot to see the young people's entering on this.
Amen.
Amen. I want to say this concerning you and your children here. I see something here that is lacking in America. In United States of America, you and your children seem to be just one. I notice here in this home, there's a closeness between mama, daddy, and the children and all, just the oneness, you know. I noticed that last night we were back here, and the kids had in America they had a saying a long time ago, children are to be seen, not to be heard. I don't believe that. Amen. I like to hear them sometimes, don't you?
Amen.
I like to see that oneness between mama and daddy and the children. Amen. They grow up together like that. That's a strong family. That's of God, though. Amen. So I thank God for the children. All right. Someone else need prayer.